don't like to go to Starbucks in the morning, anytime really, is because there's always a line. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, you need to go to Starbucks. If you go to Starbucks for coffee, you need coffee just to stand in line for coffee. You know what I mean? What are you doing back there? Are you making coffee? Drink some, because this thing is going too slow. You got to sit there with your own little pot of coffee. I don't like waiting in lines. I feel like me waiting in lines is a lot of time God testing me and testing my patience. But none of us, I don't think, love to wait. We don't stand at the post office and just say, thank God that there's 83 people in front of me. We don't do that. We do not like to wait. But I believe this morning the Lord wants to speak to us about that he's with us in the waiting. He's with us in the waiting. Last week, we started this series about with us. God with us. What does that mean? Emmanuel, God with us. What are the implications for our lives? What is the application that we can take away if we know that God is with us? Last week, we talked about that he is with us to save us. We talked about Nicodemus and Jesus and the conversation that they had on that verse, John 3:16. This week, I want to talk to you, excuse me one second, I want to talk to you about he's with us in the waiting. Touch the person next to you. Touch the person next to you. Just tap them with one finger and say he's with us in the waiting. So you're going to have to learn how to wait. Touch the person next to you. Say he's with us in the waiting. So you're going to have to learn how to wait. We don't like to wait, but we know that waiting is a crucial element in this thing called Christianity. In this walk that we have with Jesus, very rarely are things instantaneous. And even when they seem instantaneous, there's a story and there's a period of waiting. I believe God wants to speak to us this morning from Luke 2, verse 22. So if you have your Bibles or your smartphones or your tablets, turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. It says this: when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required by the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we know Joseph and Mary aren't wealthy, because this was a sacrifice of middle class to lower class people. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting. Circle, underline, highlight, eagerly waiting. He was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him, circle, underline, highlight, led him to the temple. Can we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord. We thank you for this Christmas season that we just get to remember you giving us your Son to save us, to rescue us, that you are with us for eternity. You are with us forever. This morning, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you speak to the person, Lord God, who has gotten discouraged in their waiting season. Lord God, who has gotten bitter in their waiting season. Lord God, somebody who's entering a waiting season, Lord, would you speak to our hearts this morning and encourage us that you're with us, that you've never left us. In your name we pray, amen. So what do we do? If we know that life and this Christian walk is going to be marked at certain seasons with waiting, how do we live in the waiting? What do we do in those times where we feel like God is not answering our prayers, that he is not coming and showing up in the way that we thought he would, and our expectations are now not met? What do we do in the waiting? What do we do in the waiting? I believe that we can see from the example of Mary, Joseph, and Simeon, the first thing that we do in the waiting is we continue to obey. We continue to obey. I know that seems elementary, but hear me. We find Mary and Joseph at the temple obeying the law. They were obeying God's word. They were there. In fact, in Leviticus 12, it says that after a woman gave birth, she had to wait 40 days until she came into the temple and she was purified. She was cleansed in that time period. And we find Mary and Joseph in their youth, right there in the house of God. They were obeying the law. Don't miss this. They were obeying God's word. We find this man Simeon, who we spoke of, who this passage speaks of, and we opened up and he is eagerly waiting. Can I tell you something? In your waiting season or in any season, divine appointments don't just happen. Half of the equation is dependent on your obedience. Sometimes we're in this waiting season and we don't feel like God is answering a prayer in our timeline. And so what do? We take matters into our own hands and we step outside of the bounds of obedience and say, well, God, you're not showing up. And so I'm just going to have to do what I have to do. And now you're stepping outside of the will of God and we still expect God to bless us. We say, well, God, you're just taking too long. Well, God, you're not hearing me. God, I'm waiting, God. And God's looking at us like, I'm waiting on you to start obeying my word. Obedience is our part, church. God does what he can do, but obedience is what you and I do. Obedience is the guardrails for our life. Listen to me. When you get outside of the guardrails that God has set up for your benefit, you miss out on the miracle. Drive this point home a little further. If you're on 495, there's four lanes, and every person is to stay in their lane. And when they step outside of their lane without their blinkers, that's when people get unrighteous. And there are guardrails set up on either side of traffic so that you don't run into oncoming traffic, correct? Think if there were no guardrails on this highway, eight lanes, and people are just going in whatever direction they want. There's no direction, and all of a sudden, there's destruction. Where there are no guardrails, there's destruction. God has set up guardrails in his word for your life, for my life, so that we will not enter a path of destruction. So when God is saying, don't sin, when God is saying, obey my word, he's saying, I want the best for you, so live in that obedience. I feel the problem of the church, not just this church, but worldwide, Christians worldwide. Listen, the problem with the church is that we are educated beyond our level of obedience. I'll say that again. We are educated beyond our level of obedience. Listen, we don't come here on Sundays to get necessarily something new. You have God's word. We have God's word. We are called to obey God's word. We don't come necessarily for more revelation. What we need in our lives is more application. You need to just start living out the thing that God has told you in his word. We don't come from this divine thing. Well, God, I'm just going to get something brand new. I'm going to get something that I've never heard before. And God said, listen, if you would just obey the things that I've already told you, you would start seeing some miracles happen in your life. The problem is not education. I think it's that we've been educated beyond our level of obedience. Obedience doesn't always make sense, though, and so that's where we get into trouble. Obedience doesn't always make sense. Have you seen that in raising children? Obedience to them does not make sense. They can't understand why they can't have six cookies before dinner. It doesn't make sense. What kind of evil person are you that you wouldn't allow me to have 35,000 grams of sugar before I even eat one piece of broccoli? That doesn't make sense. Obedience doesn't always make sense. It didn't make sense when God told them to march around Jericho seven times. It didn't make sense when God told Moses, raise your staff and I'm going to part the waters. It didn't make sense when God told the people of Israel, as they're entering into the promised land, step into the Jordan and I'm going to stop the waters on either side. Obedience doesn't always make sense. God, what do you mean I have to wait before marriage? What does that mean? I don't know a purity. God, what does it mean that I have to follow this star? There's going to be a baby at the other side of this? What does that mean? God, obedience doesn't always make sense. But hear me, if you would simply obey, you would find that on the other side of that obedience, there's a blessing waiting. It doesn't make sense in the moment, but once you get across, once you get to the other side and you follow his word, you will see that there's something on the other side for you. There's a blessing on the other side for you. Listen, this isn't a prosperity gospel. This is simply the gospel. When you obey, good things happen. And Simeon has been waiting on the Lord for Lord knows how long. And I bet that there were times that he felt like giving up. The word says that he was obedient, but it says that he's in his old age. I'm telling you, Simeon was probably discouraged at one point in his life because he had a promise, but he wasn't seeing it into fruition. And at some point, people probably started making fun of Simeon. At some point in your life, people will probably start saying something about you because you're waiting on a promise that doesn't seem that it's coming through. Simeon was probably that old guy that parents told their kids, don't come around his house. That guy's crazy. He's believing God for some things that is just cuckoo. God has been silent for hundreds of years. God's not showing up. God's nowhere to be found. But Simeon goes day in, day out to the temple. It says that he was obedient to the Holy Spirit and he showed up. Somebody say showed up. Come on, believe it like you're here this morning. Somebody say showed up. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is show up. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is show up. Listen, I love going to the gym in the morning. I wake up around 5:30. There's some days that I don't feel like waking up that early. Some of y'all wake up that early just to stand in traffic. There's some days that I do not feel like getting up, but I know that if I get out of bed, then I'm gonna go brush my teeth. If I brush my teeth, then I'm gonna get in my car. If I get in my car, I'm gonna show up to the gym. If I show up to the gym, something's gonna happen. Hear me, some of y'all, I respect you so much because this morning you didn't feel like showing up. But you believe that something was gonna happen. That God was gonna show up. That God was gonna do something in your life. This morning you woke up, you probably woke up with some kind of a head cold. You woke up, you brushed your teeth, you slapped your kids three times to get out of bed. You had to tell them a fourth time, so you threw a little water on them to get them out. You got in the car, you probably forgot something, but you're here, you showed up. Because you believe that God was gonna do something in your life. You know, I found the very times in my life where I don't feel like showing up, oftentimes those are the times where God comes in and shows off. The very times that I wanted to take off, the very times that I wanted to quit, those are the times that God came in and did what only he can do. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is show up. Mary and Joseph in their youth are showing up in obedience. Simeon in his old age shows us that after hearing from the Holy Spirit, he is showing up in the temple. In the temple, they're showing up day in, day out. He's showing up. Imagine if Simeon decided to take that day off. He would have missed the revelation of Jesus Christ and would have missed the promise for his life. Simple formula for you this morning. You can write it down. You can tweet it. It's less than 140 characters. Obedience to his word plus obedience to the promptings of the Spirit equal divine appointments. Obedience to his word plus obedience to the promptings of the Holy Spirit equal divine appointments. Mary, Joseph meet Simeon. One is being obedient to his word. The other is being obedient to a promise and to the leanings and promptings of the Holy Spirit. And together, a divine appointment happens. Listen, some of you are discouraged this morning because you haven't seen it into fruition and you keep doing what you're doing. You continue to obey. You continue to show up and God is going to come in and show off in your life and doors are going to be open that nobody can shut, and doors are going to be shut that nobody can open because he is doing something in your life to bring upon the fruition of his promise for your life. Can somebody praise God this morning that we serve a God that is not silent as we think he's being silent, but he is showing up, that God is in the details. We continue to obey. While you're waiting, understand that God is after your obedience, that he cares more about who you're becoming in the process then he cares about the result. He cares more about who you are becoming in the waiting season than he cares about the result or the answer that you're waiting for. Obedience means trusting the process. Obedience means trusting the process. I love that phrase. It's coined by NBA general manager, no longer general manager of the 76ers, and now they're a good team, but they were losing for a long time. And he had this simple phrase, trust the process. Trust the process. And now that team is seeing some of that fruition come in with superstars. Listen, God loves the process. God loves the process. While we're busy, anxious, and waiting for an answer, God cares more about who you're becoming in your journey. God cares more about the process of development in your life rather than the answer that you're waiting for. God loves the process, so enjoy the journey. In your obedience, you will see that God is faithful and it will let you enjoy the journey. Somebody say, enjoy the journey. So when Mary and Joseph come to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, this is verse 28, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people in Israel. Number two, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. It says that he was eagerly awaiting on God. That Simeon was eagerly waiting on God. Hear me, this man is in his old age. He sees Jesus. He sees the revelation of God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And he says, God, now I can die. He's not in his mid-20s. He's older. He's later in life. And for a long time, he has not seen the promise fulfilled. But one moment, he sees the promise come into fulfillment. Can I tell you something? Eagerly waiting is not passive, and it's not passive aggressive. Eagerly waiting is not, well, I'm just going to sit on the couch. I'm waiting on God, and you know, God is just going to show up as I'm being lazy. I ain't got no job. I ain't even try to get out the house. But you know, God, I'm believing you're going to do something. Eagerly waiting is not passive. And eagerly waiting is not passive aggressive. It's not trying to take matters into your own hands and do for God what he has promised that he's going to do for you. Eagerly waiting means praying like it depends on God and working like it depends on you. Listen, Simeon still had to get out the house and show up. He still had to do something. And in this time, imagine if Simeon would have taken off. We said that already. Imagine if Simeon wouldn't have enjoyed the journey. Listen, while we wait, we learn. We must learn to find joy in the present while we're looking for what's to come. The thing that got Simeon out of bed every single day was the fact that he approached every day thinking, today could be the day. Today could be the day that God comes up. I don't want to miss it. I got to strap my shoes on because I know today could be the day. I haven't seen it yesterday. I didn't see it last week, but today could be the day. Listen, that's enjoying the journey. That's living in the moment. That's expecting God to do something in the future, but counting your blessings in the moment. Can I just implore you, as you're in this waiting season, don't get discouraged. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry with God. Enjoy the moments that he is causing you to live. Enjoy the present because there's little tiny miracles in it that you will see his promise come into fruition. Enjoy the journey. Somebody say, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. There's some of you, God has put a God-sized dream inside of you. God has put a vision inside of you. And I'm not talking about, man, just some goal that you have or a prayer that you have. Man, God, I need a new vehicle. God has put a vision and a dream inside of you to fulfill. And some of you have grown discouraged because you don't see it yet. Can I just encourage you this morning that God wants to bless you? My God that owns a cattle on a thousand hill that is able to supply all your needs, it wants to bless you this morning. But can I tell you something? As we are obeying, as we are enjoying the journey, God wants to bless you, but it's in his timing. He's able to supply all your needs, and he wants to bless you, but he loves you too much to bless you before you're ready. He loves you too much to bless you before you're ready. See, if he blesses us before we are ready, then the very blessing that he blesses with now becomes a curse. Some of you are confused. I'll explain this to you right now. My daughter is 4 years old. I imagine that at some point, if the laws stay the same, at around 16, she's going to ask me, Dad, I want the keys to the car. And as a good father, I'm going to freak out. But I'm going to want to bless my daughter with the keys to a car. And I want to bless her with the vehicle. She's going to have to go through a process of going through driving school. She's going to have to go through the process of getting her driver's license and her permits. She's going to have to go through the process of getting all 60 hours before she hits the road by herself. She's going to have to go through this process. Imagine if I give her the keys to the car at 4 years old. It's a blessing, but she's not ready for it. And so the very blessing that I want to bless her with now becomes destruction for her and for the people around her. Hear me, many of you are waiting on God and you feel like God is being silent or he's being cold with you. Maybe the fact is that you just need to enjoy the journey and realize that maybe you're in a place that you're not ready for that blessing right now because you would mishandle it, you would misuse it, and the very blessing that God wants for you, it would be a curse. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Sometimes we're just not ready for what God has for us. And he cares about more who we're becoming to be able to handle that blessing. Hear me, God wants to bless you more than you want his blessing. He wants what's best for you more than you want it, because it's his purposes for you. But there's a grace period that needs to take place. Listen, God is never early. He's never late. He's always on. There's a grace period that God wants to take us through, I believe. There's a grace period when God, and a grace period is simply this, when God doesn't give us what we want when we want it. We understand grace periods. Many of you have graduated college in the United States, understand that there's this evil called student loans. And there's a grace period of about 6 months, wish it was longer, about 6 months when those debts are not accruing interest and you are allowed to pay them after 6 months after you graduate. It's a grace period. It feels more like a death period because you're looking for jobs like, God, what is going on? There's a grace period. You understand this in contracts, when you're, whether it's a contract for a home or a contract for some kind of a building permit. There's a grace period where you are able to get out of that contract without any penalties. There's a grace period in politics where when somebody assumes office, there's a grace period where we give them the benefit of the doubt, although I feel like that's more hypothetical than realistic. Amen? There's a grace period. There's a grace period that God has to take us through. Listen, God is not bound to the laws of space and time. God is not bound to the four dimensions that you and I feel and know. He is outside of the very creation of the very space-time continuum. So God is not being silent, and God is not delayed as we may think. In fact, 2 Peter 2, verses 8 through 9 says this, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." It says the Lord is being patient. Time is nothing to him. He exists outside of time, but he's being patient with us. Let's be honest. Oftentimes, we think we're being patient with God. God, where are you? You're not showing up. You're not doing what I thought you were going to do. Listen, no, he's being patient with you. He's being patient with me. We don't like to wait, but if we would understand that he cares more about the journey, he wants you to enjoy the journey, enjoy the process of who he's molding you and shaping you to become in this waiting season. Because of his love and his patience, can I exhort you this morning to enjoy the journey? Don't miss what he wants to do in the present because of your anxiety for the future. Don't miss what he wants to do in you right here and right now. Don't fall into the when-then trap. You know this trap. It usually starts when you're a teenager. Man, when I get a car, then I'm gonna be happy. When I graduate college, then the opportunities are gonna come. When I get married, when I become single, when I get the bigger house, when I get the promotion, then I'm gonna be happy, then I'm gonna be joyful, then I'm gonna start tithing. When this happens, then this happens. Don't fall into the when-then trap. That's not true. It does not happen. Listen, one of two things is going to happen. Either your theology will conform to your reality, or if you obey and trust the process and trust the journey that God has for you, then your reality will conform to your theology. And you'll understand, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, still he is with me. And I'm going to enjoy the journey. Can somebody give God praise that we can enjoy the journey? Have joy, count your blessings. Verse 33 says this, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise." Simply saying this, some will believe, some don't, some won't. "He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Listen, when you do what only you can do, and God will do what only God can do. When we obey and we enjoy the journey, God will show up and he'll show off. Simeon in this moment, Mary, Joseph in this moment have a divine appointment, something that God has been orchestrating for thousands of years from the beginning of time. See, oftentimes we have trouble enjoying the journey because we want things now. In fact, we want things yesterday. I can be type A sometimes, and when there's things that I want done in a certain time period, I'm on it. I'm like, right now, I need it done. And oftentimes it causes us to miss the moments. It causes us to not enjoy the journey. But trust me, when you obey, God will do what only he can do, and he will show up and show off. Say it with me. He's gonna show up and, come on, say it like you believe it. He's gonna show up and we have trouble in the moments, but God shows up in the fullness of time. The Bible says that he showed up in the fullness of time, right at the right time. See, life happens at the speed of light, right? We have technology by us. There's no more rotary phones. Now we can pick up a cell phone, call somebody anywhere in the world, know exactly what they're doing, what time. We can FaceTime them, see who they're with, who they're not with, what environments are around them. You can instant text message somebody. You can instant messenger somebody. You can do all these instant things. We radio waves for entertainment. We microwave food to get it quicker. We do all of these things that are instant, that are quick, and that are right now. And we don't understand that God works in the fullness of time. I said it from the beginning. Listen, long lines test my sanctification. Sometimes I wonder if I'm saved when I'm in a line, right? You ever been through a drive-thru? There's a few cars in front of you. And people at drive-thrus, they crack me up. If this is you, God bless you. He's still got grace and love for you. People in drive-thrus crack me up because they'll decide what they want at the window. You ever seen this? Like they're driving up. Do you know what you want? And they're reading the menu, and I'm just like, what were you doing the whole time in line? Your tax returns? Get going. It's McDonald's. They got the same 7 things for the last 50 years. I can read you the menu left from right, right to left, up and down, blindfold me. Just point. There's pictures. Like, what are you doing? We don't have patience, right? People stare at the menu like, it's the same thing. We want things now. We want things immediately. See, life happens at the speed of light, but the kingdom of God still moves at the speed of a seed. Life happens at the speed of light, but the kingdom of God still moves at the speed of a seed. Listen, when you put a seed in the ground, a farmer puts a seed in the ground, he has to water it, weed it, cultivate it before it comes into harvest, before it comes into fruition. It still takes 20 years for an acorn to become an oak tree, the same time that it took in the Garden of Eden. If you want to master something, if you want to become an expert at something, Anders Ericsson created the hypothesis that many of us are familiar with. If you want to become an expert at something, you have to put 10,000 hours of deliberate practice, meaning 70% effort into that something. Every person that has become an expert, anybody who's phenomenal at something, they've put 10,000 hours of it. It still happens at the speed of a seed. Listen, if you are pregnant, it's still going to take 9 months for that baby to come through. And you don't want it to come any sooner. See, we have microwave expectations, but we live with a crockpot God. The kingdom of God still moves at the speed of a seed. See, if we do what we can do, then that's obedience and that's enjoying the journey. God will do what only he can do, and that's show up and show off. In a few verses before this, in Luke chapter 2, it says, "And suddenly the angels appeared." So Christmas happened suddenly, right? No. It happened, they appeared suddenly, but it was thousands of years of waiting on the promise. Thousands of years on waiting on the Messiah. Thousands of years of wondering, is it today? Is it gonna happen? When is the Lord gonna stop being silent? Listen to me. I'm gonna share this with you, and this is gonna touch somebody this day. If you know anything about the Chinese bamboo tree, you plant that Chinese bamboo tree into the ground. You put the seed into the ground. Year one, there's no growth above the ground. Year two, nothing is sprouting out of the ground. Nothing. What do many people probably do in the moments? God has given you something, you don't see it, and you dig it up and you say, well, maybe I didn't actually hear from God. Well, I'm just gonna move on because this God is not a God that loves me. Year three, you put that Chinese bamboo tree, is still in the ground. Year three, nothing. Year four, nothing. Year five, hear me, year five, in 6 weeks, that Chinese bamboo tree will grow 80 feet. But there was no growth. What was happening? underneath the surface. What you cannot see is that Chinese bamboo tree was growing its roots deep, that it was extending its root system to be able to sustain the growth that was eventually coming. Listen, some of you think that God is being silent. You think that there is no growth in your life. You think that God has forgotten about you, but he's developing you. He's forming you, and nobody else can see it, but you know it. You're in your prayer closet, and he's forming you. He's shaping you. He's making you stronger. He's making you more patient with people. He's making you have more peace and joy, and suddenly something's going to happen. Let me tell you how it works. You're going to wait forever, and it's going to happen overnight. You're going to wait forever, and it's going to happen overnight. Can you stand with me this morning? Luke was getting this testimony from Mary in the beginning, and he's writing this down. And I think she includes that promise, that prophecy that Simeon had for Jesus. And I think for 30 years, she probably forgot about it, right? It's when Simeon says, it's gonna be like a sword that pierces your soul. I don't think she thought about it when Jesus was a baby or was a teenager. It wasn't until she saw her son going down the Via Dolorosa and unto the cross where she understood the prophecy. And I don't think it was until Easter that she understood the importance of Christmas. And she understood all the waiting was not in vain. That all the waiting was worth it. All the waiting was worth it. Can I just remind you this morning, God's not finished with you. God's not done with you. God is not finished, but it is finished. It is finished. Even if he never did another thing for us, he would have done enough by going to the cross and raising 3 days later and winning the victory over sin and death so that we could have eternal life. But God is not done with you yet. In your waiting, continue to obey. Enjoy the journey. Don't become bitter or discouraged. Enjoy the journey, and I promise you it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to take some time, but it'll suddenly happen. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, we thank you that you're the Lord over our waiting season. Lord God, that in the midst of our technology and reality at the speed of light, Father God, you still work at the speed of a seed. So I pray that you would cultivate patience inside of us, that you will cultivate obedience inside of us, joy in our journey. And Lord, we know that you will do what only you can do, and you'll show up and you'll show off. So we trust you in this waiting season in our lives. And in your name we pray, amen. As you leave this morning, could you high five somebody or greet somebody that loves to wait?